attention, please. The next Metro train approaching your station will be a Metro Express train and will not stop.
Welcome to Voices Cary Live. My name is Randy Scott. I am broadcasting from the beautiful village of Cary, Illinois, and I am bringing you your platform. This is your podcast. It is a podcast to bridge the gap between social media and your talking to your neighbor, which I have done today. I was out talking with voters, and it was amazing. It's amazing what can be solved and be just when we just talk together and just start talking. And there's no agenda, there's no... everybody's so jaded by mainstream politics, I think, that everybody has these guards up. And it was just nice kind of having, there was two neighbors out, we were talking, it was amazing. And that's what this show, that's what I started this show a long time ago, is about. And what I learned is that I might be too close to some, And like I'm doing all this, I'm breaking down a lot of stuff, and I think I'm too close. So I want to zoom out today, because pretty much everybody I speak with has zero idea of what I'm trying to solve, what I see in the future. And I'm not going to get into that today because I've gotten into it in the past shows, but I'm going to zoom out. And we're gonna, it's gonna be fun. And I think this is my Mr. Rogers, shoe. You know how Mr. Rogers used to take the shoe off. This is my. Oh, he just skipped the green. This is my. I did this on the air, last time. I like to put the kids first. Mom and Dad, these are Blueys. That might be my daily Mr. Rogers thing in the neighborhood that I do with you. Instead of doing it by myself alone, might as well do it on the screen with you. So we're going to zoom out. And I want to start off, I'm a unifier. And sometimes you'll meet voters and they'll be like, well, you support this, you support that. I'm like, whoa. And I can't stress enough that I'm a unifier. And I think that shows with what my wife and I have created, that we're on the same page with that as unifying. That's one of the reasons why we went with purple as the main color, because it's red and blue. Let's bring it together. And we're strong when we're together. And I wanted to share with you a story right off the bat about Six Flags. When I worked at Six Flags, when I would operate a roller coaster, I would be operating a, like, say, Raging Bull. And, you know, you'd go through the whole motion and then put your thumb up and then send the train off. And they would go, people would sit down. I would watch. They'd stand in line for 3 hours for this roller coaster. They don't talk at all. Nobody's talking to one another. They're in their phones. They get on this roller coaster, still strangers, right? They go through the entire roller coaster. They went through an experience together. And then when that train comes into the break before the station, they're talking to one another. They're high-fiving one another. And that's, I had a past project that I kind of wanted to tap into that. And I think that's what I want to do here, is that, you know, we've gone through a lot of stuff as a community, as a country, and we're coming up on the break run to where we can all get together. And like some people, I would say the majority of people, one, just want to be left alone, but then two, they expect the people in government to have their stuff straight and to have the best interest in mind. And that should be a common denominator. And it'd be so easy if you could just get like the polarization out and just make it about unifying without being cliche. You know, it's cliche, like I'm a unifier. But I hope that you can see with that example that I've been watching this for a while, and that's what I'm doing. That's what I want to bring. And it's not going to happen for everybody, but if you lay the foundation and if you build it, they will come. Another Field of Dreams quote. When I was talking with these two residents that appeared they hadn't spoken in a while, but they were talking, and I can't tell you how many times I've spoken with politicians before, and I'm not a politician, but I've spoken with politicians, and you can just tell when like the eyes start to get shifty or the body language starts to move back. And I have this, some say it's a flaw, but it's like, I never want to disengage because one, I might learn something. Two, it's like disrespectful. And then three, it's like, it's a connection. Like you're talking right there. And it's just in my fabric. Like, I don't want to like, there's a time and place where you shake hands, move on, and like in an event, you don't want to take the people's time. I like to never disengage. And it's like, it's something that I never want to lose. That's why so we were talking, and it's amazing how, like I had mentioned in the past, if you watch like I did in-town work for 10 years, and I hadn't shaken the hand of this person until like 5 months ago. And that can only tell me that there's a lot of people that have probably the same thing. And it's like you're living in this town, and a lot of the problems can just go away if you just, your priorities of just the time and resources instead of the projects and the constant, it's not a us versus them thing, to where it's if you're in that position, you're like trying to do all this fancy footwork to try to get the next thing. And we already have like good stuff that we need to shore up on and pay attention to. And just by talking, excuse me 1 minute. Just by talking, you can, it, so many problems are solved. When we were talking, this one woman shared with me a story about getting stuck on train tracks. And she wasn't stuck, but she's like, I couldn't see. It was early in the morning. I couldn't see. And looking at the gates were coming down, and she stopped. And when the gates came down, it hit her trunk. And she's like, hey, we need some more lighting, some general lighting at that intersection. So I immediately thought, I was like, well, you can't touch the intersection, because if you touch the intersection, you have to redo the whole thing. So I immediately go into this like technical side, because it's a state intersection and you have to update the whole thing. You can't tinker around with it, which is one of the reasons why we can't do anything with the Crystal Street West Main thing. I think if you just, there's so many other creative ways that is time and resources spent on workarounds on other things. You can find some workarounds to take care of these immediate issues. So she says she's stuck on the tracks, and I was thinking to myself, immediately the bus accident that was in the Fox River Grove. And then there was a solution right there. I'm like, okay, so you were at the light, and then you drove, and then the gate started to come down. I'm like, you had the green? She's like, yeah. I'm like, when that bus accident happened, they did a full nationwide update of how that happens. It's called like a pre-emergent thing. So before the gates come down, it knows there's a train coming, and it sends the traffic signal through a cycle to make sure that intersection's clear. And I said, I'm like, you don't, instead of more lights, which it's needed, that's just a software update that you can be like, you can put a request in and have the traffic signal company take care of. That was potentially just solved right there. It was like, okay, thank you for telling me that. You put a work request in and it's taken care of. They update the software to where it's like, okay, maybe we need some more time, but when that green comes on to let that intersection clear out, because that green, there's some distance there right across from 14. It could be thinking like, okay, everybody's out, but they don't know that somebody could have been right at that intersection when the light turned yellow, red. So just a few more seconds on that, you get people out. I'm like, that's the beautiful thing about talking. And then she also had a story about animals. She had some foxes stuck. The mom, something happened to the mom, and there were some baby foxes stuck in her window well. She had a cover on it, but the wind blew it, and the foxes were in there. So she called non-emergency, and they gave her a few resources. The police and fire couldn't do anything about it. And then the resources were too, like, animal control, and they didn't work out. So I'm like, okay, that's something we need to work on. Let's get a phone tree of animal rescues and rehabilitation in the area. And instead of pretending like, hey, we know everything, just put a feeler out on Facebook. Like, hey, what are the best, just like how when people do it on Facebook, it's like, hey, I need a plumber. Who do you like? And just do that as a village. Be like, okay, we're getting a phone tree together for animal rescue to get some resources that we can provide our dispatch in the case of this to relay. Because my wife and I saved a bird, and I went through what she went through. We were in Iowa on I-80, and we were at this farming museum. It was really cool. And I saw this bird that looked like it got hit with a lawnmower, and it was just sitting there. And we waited like 3 or 4 hours for this animal rescue woman, she rehabilitates birds in her house, to come meet us there. And then like a year after, she sent us a picture of this bird like completely flying well, and she's like, yeah, I think it's getting ready to leave. And it was just, it was amazing. But that was really hard trying to locate somebody in first of all, a place you don't know, and then trying to find that resource. So we can get a better phone tree together for animal rescue for that, so that we can directly, because it was difficult for her to find that. And that just starts by talking. So I wanted to zoom out a little bit, and I had something fun. I was a fan of The Office, so I'm gonna play this, and it's gonna tie in. It has nothing to do with it's about the pyramid scheme clip. It has nothing to do about the pyramid scheme, but the analogy is gonna look like a pyramid. But I thought this was fun, just to get the juices flowing for this pyramid analogy.
So, Phil recruited me to sell these cards, and now I am recruiting you.
Who is this guy again?
Don't worry about Phil. He drives a Corvette. He is doing just fine. Okay. Calling cards are the wave of the future. These things sell themselves.
Who uses calling cards anyway?
You know what? That's a nice attitude, Ryan. I'm just helping you invest in your future, my friend.
It sounds like a get-rich-quick scheme.
Yes, thank you. You will get rich quick. We all will.
Didn't you lose a lot of money on that other investment, the one from the email?
You know what, Toby? When the son of the deposed king of Nigeria emails you directly asking for help, you help. His father ran the freaking country, okay? All right, so raise your hand if you want to get rich. All right.
No, how is this not a pyramid scheme?
All right. Let me explain again. Phil has recruited me and another guy. Now, we are getting three people each. The more people that get involved, the more people who are investing, the more money we're all going to make. It's not a pyramid scheme. It's not even a scheme, per se. I have to go make a call.
I thought that was funny. There's a analogy of a pyramid of local political involvement. The disengaged, residents who don't participate in local politics at all, they might not vote, attend meetings, or even be aware of local issues. Lack of distrust in the, lack of awareness, distrust in the system. My voice doesn't matter. I don't have time. Often the largest group, potentially 40 to 60%, depending on the area. I'm not saying that I want to like bring these people into politics because I'm actually envious of them, but I want to make sure that their voices are heard. The informed but inactive residents who follow local news, know about issues, zoning changes, school funding, but don't take action beyond staying informed. They read newsletters, talk about issues with friends, complain about decisions, but they don't vote or speak up publicly. Someone who knows the mayor's latest policy but doesn't attend the public comment section, maybe 20 or 30%. Occasional participants, residents who get involved sporadically, usually when an issue directly affects them. They vote in some local elections, sign petitions, show up at meetings. Not consistent. A homeowner who attends a zoning board meeting to oppose a nearby construction project but ignores other issues, 10 to 20%. The active citizens, 5 to 10%. And then the leaders, advocates, top level 1 to 5%. And that was a, they put that as a pyramid analogy. And I want to look at that and zoom out, and not just for trying to get votes, but trying to advocate for those people. Because a lot of the things I was bringing up, and I wasn't trying to bring them up to like, hey, this is happening. It was just they mentioned something and I was bringing it up, and they're like, I've never heard of that before. Just to try to get them aware. Because if somebody moves into town, even if it's on the other side of town, and they move there for reason X, and then you're changing the entire feeling of the town by all these other deal makings. That's why communication is important, I think. That's why not just tactically keeping it on the down low to try to get to try to push your projects forward, but to actually bring those people in to roll out education sessions of like, this is what we're doing, this is what we feel like. And they go through the motions of like the comprehensive plan. But I think there's a responsibility on government to, like what we saw with the home rule, like they put a lot of time and energy into making the public aware. That sort of effort needs to go into, hey, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think? And then hold fruitful meetings about it so that 40 to 60% that's disengaged, but you're still responsible for, still has a seat at the table. And that's what I want to do, is to bring those 40 to 60% of people up to speed and brief them on stuff that happens. Not just, you know, it's your responsibility to pay attention, which is what we hear. It's actually not. It's their responsibility to live their life. They're actually paying for a service, which is government, and government should have that responsibility to make sure they're aware. Which, I mean, there's tools in the toolbox, and we have the technology to do. And I think it's needed. So, I'm a unifier. I try to bring people in, and because my power of empathy has just been strengthened so much with like my past jobs and with stories I can't even begin to explain, and just me being able to place myself into other people's positions, whether it's good or bad, and then thinking like, how would I feel with that? And that's what I'm trying to leverage here, is that tool in my toolbox is to cut those people into the fold of local decision making. That doesn't mean that you need to become a it just needs to be that you're informed, and that means to be, to me, more than just a posting that's buried in the Northwest Herald that runs for a day and say, well, we did it. It's on them. It's their responsibility. No, that might be what you need to do, but what you should do is actually reach out. So like with all this, the school issues and stuff, like you know my overlay, you know my issues. And if you're not familiar with it, there's a good show that describes that. I broke down all of them. So yeah, I think I'm too close, and I'm assuming that everybody is on the same page of like, but they're not. And that was partially due to, you know, just life. You know, I wish I wasn't engaged. I wish that, you know, government is just this constant thing that is consistent into blindly having a process. It comes down to processes. Like, okay, we want to do this. Okay, you need to do this. Not just put in the Northwest Herald a public announcement and put up a sign. You need to engage. And I view that as a responsibility, not just an option. So I didn't want to come on and just do the regular show about talking about some of our school issues and how our schools need to have a strong advocate and somebody in their corner. There's been some damage there. There's been some on the residents' side. We need to bring them in to the conversation. And I just wanted to zoom out. Let me see if there's anybody that chimed in. This was a fun interaction. I had somebody that texted me on this number saying like, hey, there's somebody, they were essentially giving me stuff to like fire back at somebody about some issue they brought up. And I was like, I first of all, my only social, like for my family's sake, and I think a lot of us are getting on the same page with social media, like the less pictures of like children and family that are out there, the better. That kind of goes away with running for office, but it's just, so my personal side of Facebook is not very active, like at all. I don't, I just have this platform and that's it. Like, I don't have any burner accounts. I don't have any of that. I don't even have time for that. And instead of playing games, I think it's going to pay dividends to focus on you and your issues than to, get in the mud. So that's where I'm at. That's where I stand. And that was a lot of fun. That's, instead of just, I'm involved with the community, and then you just do, some bars. It's actually like getting into the nooks and crannies of the village that you represent. And that's something I used to do all the time. Like, you would wake up 2 a.m. And go and meet a complete stranger, and it was their worst day of their life, and you would try to comfort them. Like, I would always treat every call like it was their first. Like, you could go your entire life having never dialed 911, and then that could be your 10th call that night, and you could be like tired, like you just got spit on and all this other stuff with other calls, and you're just like, I just want to go to bed. And then that 70-year-old that dials 911 for the first time in their life doesn't need somebody in a uniform coming that's not at the top of their game and willing to empathize with their situation and do everything in their power to make it more comfortable. So that's where some of that empathy was strengthened in me. And that's why I wanted to bring this kind of zoom out episode to all of you. And it's a lot of fun talking with people and hearing stories. I'm a sucker for storytelling. That's why I can't disengage, is because I listen to stories. And it's just a wonderful thing, because I like my whole game plan is to get as much knowledge as possible so I can give it to those guys, so that the day that I'm not in the phone book for them to call, they'll have the tools in their toolbox to be able to mitigate issues and look at it from all perspectives. So if you're watching this and you're not involved, that doesn't mean you need to go and get involved, but just know where I stand with unifying, and it's been in the making for a while. It's not a cliche. It's not just a mantra, or it's an actual, like, I'm trying to get dirty and just make this happen. So, and I see it. I feel it. It's good times. I have this fun thing. I was going to try to, I was looking up new songs for the intro, seeing if they were not, to see if I could use them. And I found this American Bandstand thing that I was like, oh, I can do that as like an intro. Like, let me know if you, I have this fun American Bandstand thing to where how they would reveal the songs. And there was one song that I was thinking of. Well, you'll have to wait until tomorrow. There'll be a new intro song tomorrow. Thank you for joining me on Voices Carry Live today. That's not part of the title. Voices Carry Live. I'm Randy Scott. These are That's what we're doing. We're bringing it back, small town. We're bringing it back. Have a wonderful evening.